Unity.com.
Good morning, everyone. So if you're just joining us in this series this morning, we're in this series called The Greatest Show. It's based on The Greatest Showman, the movie that came out a while back. And we're working through each week is based on a different song in the soundtrack. And this week is called Tightrope. And as you saw the clip, it's interesting that the song is really about Charity's life with P.T. Barnum. And by the way, just as a reminder, this is a fictional version of a real-life person, so there's a lot of liberties, and it's not necessarily entirely accurate. But in the movie, we see Charity, who deeply loves P.T. Barnum, and she always has. Right? She was willing to risk everything that she had to go on this adventure with him, the adventure of a lifetime. And so you hear the song, and it's got these beautiful lyrics, but underneath you also see all these scenes that are showing the collapse of their world as they know it. Barnum has kind of gone off the deep end. And at one point in the movie, a little while later, she has to leave the house because it's been, foreclosed upon. And she tells Barnum, "I never minded taking the risks, but we always did it together." Now, if you've seen the movie, that's actually a pretty funny line because they never did anything together. Barnum always was making the decisions. He bought a house without telling her. He had it remodeled or redesigned without telling her. He bought a wax museum, and she found out about it when she walked in and saw all of the creatures. It's a very comical thing, and if you probably were paying super close attention to the movie, it's this moving moment, this emotional climax, but you might choke on your popcorn a little bit, right? Because it's not really true to what's happening in the movie. But her life here is this, it's an exciting adventure is what she's talking about. It's exciting, it's adventurous, it has this breathtaking view. But it was also dangerous and scary up on that tightrope. And so that's kind of the nature of this song. Now, when we choose to follow after Jesus, we're kind of signing up for the same deal. Now, he's not going to abandon us and let us down like Barnum did in the movie. But our life with Jesus should be exciting and adventurous. And yet it's going to be dangerous and scary at times. There are times where Jesus will ask us to do things that ends up taking us right into the heart of a storm. So we're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture this morning. It's in Matthew chapter 14. If you want to turn there, you can. We will put some of the text up on the screen. But it's Matthew chapter 14, and we'll start in verse 22. As we do that, I want to mention that this is there are three different accounts of this story. One is in Mark 6, one is in John 6, and they're slightly different perspectives, but it's the same story. And just to set the scene, the disciples have been with Jesus for a while. They had seen him perform many different miracles, and he gets to a point where there are 5,000 people that he feeds with 5 loaves and 2 fish. 5,000 men, which means 5,000 people, not including the women and the children that were there. And he feeds them with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the story that we're picking up takes place right after that event. So Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 22. And here's what it tells us. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." It's interesting, the first thing that we see in the story is that Jesus made his disciples get in the boat. Right? Now, John's account suggests why. And again, we'll pull from some of the other accounts to add some clarity to the story. But John's account gives us a little bit of a clue as to why. See, Jesus fed these thousands of people, and he said they wanted to make him their king. They wanted to take Jesus and make him king. And that wasn't part of the plan, so he needed to move out of there. And he goes off by himself to pray. He sends the disciples across the lake. But what's interesting is he sends the disciples across the lake without him. Now, if you were one of the disciples, you'd be probably asking a few questions like, why are you staying behind? How are you going to get across the lake if we take the boat? Or why don't we just wait for you to do whatever it is you got to do and then we'll all go together? And so they probably didn't understand what was going to happen, but they did what Jesus asked because he was the master. Right? They were his disciples. He was the rabbi. They would do what he asked them to do, what he told them to do. Now, John's account tells us that they left in the middle of the evening to cross the lake. And that lake was about 7 miles wide. It's 13 miles long, you know, north to south, but it's about 7 miles wide, likely the direction they were headed, based on the events in the story. That would have taken them about 2.5 hours, maybe 3 hours max. So they left around evening, but it says Jesus comes out to them shortly before dawn. Right? So they were probably out there struggling all night on the water, even though it should have only taken a few hours. And I wonder if that story or that scenario sounds familiar to us. Get the picture? 12 passengers set sail that day on what should have been a 3-hour tour. But the weather, it started getting rough and the tiny ship was tossed. If not for the courage of the fearless crew, come on now, finish it. Wow, Gilligan's Island, come on, man, everybody should know that one, right? So, I mean, to a certain degree, a familiar story. I couldn't resist doing that. It just was so parallel. Right? So a number of disciples were fishermen who grew up in that region. So they knew boats, they knew the lake, they knew the weather in that area. They could handle a little rough water, but surely they did not expect to be out there all night long. And all night long fighting against this wind. Maybe the disciples knew what was coming to a degree, but most likely not. Did Jesus know what was coming? I mean, did he know the wind was coming? I think he did. I believe he knew the storm was coming. He was God. He was God. But either one of two things are true. Either, first of all, Jesus knew the storm was coming and sent them out there anyway. Or two, he didn't know the storm was coming. But either way, he was responsible for sending these disciples out into this windstorm. And I think the point that we want to start with this morning is realizing that just as Jesus led his disciples into a storm of resistance, sometimes Jesus will lead us into a storm of resistance too. Okay? Jesus sometimes leads us into a storm of resistance. Now, I call it a storm of resistance because, when I picture a storm, I think of rain and thunder and lightning and clouds and total darkness and wind and all of that going together. But the only thing that we really know from this story is there was wind, and it was causing the waves to stir up. Visibility could have been perfect, right? Moonlight, it was nice, clear, whatever, but they could not get across the lake. They were heading into a storm that was resisting the way they were headed. So a storm of resistance. Now, if you think about it, there are a number of different kinds of storms that happen to us in our life. There's storms that happen because of us. Right, like we bring it about in our lives. We bring it on ourselves. We choose to engage in a sinful behavior. we make foolish decisions, or a whole bunch of them. And it kind of leaves us in a bad place. Our poor choices, well, they have consequences, and it could lead to a situation where it costs us our job. It costs us a relationship with our kids. It costs us our reputation. It costs us our marriage. Or it costs us our freedom. If you're in a storm because of your sin, well, that's of your own doing. It's important to understand Jesus doesn't lead us into those storms. Jesus will never cause us to sin. He doesn't lead us into sinful behavior. That's on us. So I'm not talking about that kind of storm when I talk about this storm of resistance. The storms that happen because of us. There are also storms that happen to us, right? Someone hurts us or wounds us. It could be a physical wound. It could be an emotional one. It could be accidental, or it could be on purpose. You didn't do anything to bring it on, and you couldn't do anything to prevent it, but it happened to you, right? Or maybe your storm is a sickness, or a disease, or an accident, which has somehow affected you in numerous ways, or it's affected those that you love. It's part of the heartache that comes from living in a fallen world. This world is fallen, it's broken, it's, well, not perfect. And we can be tempted to blame God for those too. For those storms in our life. Like, why would you let this happen? Why would you bring this on? And I think Jesus wants to meet us in that storm too, but he doesn't lead us into those kind of storms. And yet there is a kind of storm, one that we see here in this story, where God may put us through it. He may lead us into it. We see that. There are examples of this in Scripture. Like, for instance, Job. Right? Job is... loses everything and goes through this incredible pain because of the things that the evil one brings into his life because God allows him to be tested. Hosea was told by God to marry a prostitute who was going to leave you and desert you, and you'd have to chase her down and come back over and over. That's not something most of us would sign up for. He certainly led Hosea into a storm. Paul, who was one of the men who preached the gospel to the most people, but it also ended up that he found himself destined for Rome, where he was going to ultimately lose his life. Right? So Jesus sometimes leads us into these storms of resistance. Like when he calls us to act like him, or to do something for him, or to, say something to someone for him. He prompts us to do those things, and then when we do it, we just find ourselves with the wind coming at our face. Right? Some of you are pretty familiar with this. You can think of examples in your life where that's happened. It happened maybe when God put it on your heart to tell someone about Jesus or to invite them to church, and the resistance came. It happens when maybe you challenge someone you love lovingly, but on a moral issue or an attitude issue in their own life. And the resistance comes. It can happen when you start giving generously or serving more regularly, and then the resistance in your life comes. Right? You take this step of faith, you do what Jesus is asking you or telling you to do, but then there's some backlash or some fallout. There's some resistance. That's the kind of storm we're talking about here. Jesus sometimes leads us into a storm of resistance, and it might drain every ounce of energy within us. It could be long, it could be difficult, it could be a scary trip, like we're rowing against the wind, just like the disciples in the story. But I think in this story, there are also a few parallels that can help us get through those, some things that we should see, and four things in particular. And the first thing we see is this, that Jesus sees us in the storm. Jesus sees us in the storm. Mark's gospel tells us Jesus could see where they were struggling in the wind as they were crossing the lake from his location on land. Mark 6, verses 45 and 46 says, "When evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them." So it was evening. You know, maybe it wasn't quite so dark yet. He could see them from the shore. Maybe it was the moonlight that was going on. He could see the boat out on the waves and, you know, the wind blowing against it, but the moon lit things up. Not sure exactly how that worked, but the point is, the visibility for Jesus wasn't a problem. He was aware of their struggles. He could see them in their storm, and he sees us in our storm too. When we're in a storm, we tend to question that though, don't we? Like, does Jesus even know what's going on? Yes, he does. Of course he does. Absolutely, he does. For Jesus, visibility is not a problem, right? He sees us in our storm. And that's the first thing that I hope that we remember. And not only did he see the disciples, but then he showed up in their storm. Now, and if you think about it, they didn't even ask him to come. Now, they might have been praying like, God, please save us from this windstorm, but they didn't realize yet that he was God. So inadvertently, they were asking his help, but they probably didn't think, oh, well, let's call out to Jesus in the middle of the lake. But he didn't just see them in the storm. He showed up. And I think that's the second thing we want to remember is Jesus shows up in our storm. He sees us in our storm, but he shows up in our storm too. I think sometimes we have doubts about whether he will show up or whether he even can show up. But think about it. The disciples, they're out on a boat in the middle of the lake with the wind and the waves crashing in on them. And Jesus just walks out on the water to them. If he could get to them in that situation, he can get to you and me too, whatever our storm is. There's no situation we're ever going to face that's impossible for him to get to. There's no situation that we'll ever face that is impossible for him to get to. Jesus said he would always be with us. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that we have in Christ Jesus. So whatever and whenever and wherever your storm is, Jesus will show up. He will show up in your storm. The third thing I think that we see in the story is that Jesus wants us to trust him in that storm. Jesus wants them to trust them in that storm. Now, look at he gets to the boat and the disciples, they freak out. Verse 26 says, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. I try to put yourself in maybe kind of an ancient mindset out on the lake. You know, is there anything more terrifying than being trapped in a boat with the wind and the waves crashing all around you? It's at night. There's no hope of getting out of this situation. Oh, and then you see what you think is a ghost. I mean, that would be incredibly terrifying. But Jesus comes out to them and he says, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. And that's kind of the key in this story, isn't it? Trusting Jesus. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Now it's interesting because Matthew's account that we just read here talks about Peter walking out on the water and he begins to sink and he takes his eyes off Jesus, starts to look at the storm, begins to sink and all he really needed to do was to trust Jesus. And so that's right in line with the point here. But also, the other gospel accounts, the other two accounts, they don't even have that little detail in the story about Peter. All three accounts, though, have him saying to his disciples something to the effect of, take courage and don't be afraid. Jesus wants us to trust him in the storm. He's got everything under control. It's not too big for him. It's not too scary for him. And it's not too much for him. He's said this before. He's got this and he's got you in that storm. So take courage. Don't be afraid in the storm of resistance. And the fourth thing is this. Jesus will handle our storm. He will handle our storm. Verse 32 says that when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Is that a coincidence? No. Right? Jesus handled the storm. Now, there's an asterisk in this sentence here because I think it's important to see that Jesus doesn't respond the same way every time. He had been out in the boat with his disciples one other time in this storm. He was sleeping, and the storm was crashing in, and they felt they were about to drown, and they wake him up and said, "Don't you even care? We're about to drown." And Jesus gets up, and he just says, "Peace, be still." Calms the whole storm right away. He doesn't do that in vain, though. He comes out, the wind and the waves, they're still going on. Peter walks out on the water. He sinks. Jesus helps him up, leads him back into the boat. But that whole time, the wind is still blowing. The waves are still crashing on the boat. The storm is still going on. And so I think it's important for us to see, yes, Jesus will handle our storm, but we don't always know how he's going to do it. Jesus will handle our storm, but we don't always know how he will handle it. Sometimes he might bring the storm to an end. And that's, let's face it, that's what we usually pray for, right? Jesus, whatever it is that's going on, this storm in my life, I'm praying that you make it stop. Make it go away. Take it away. And sometimes he may do that. Sometimes he rescues us out of the storm. Maybe the wind is going to continue to blow and the waves are going to continue to blow, but somehow he removes you from that situation. And sometimes he just walks with us through that storm. Like he's promised, "I'll be with you no matter what." No matter what happens, he'll be with us in that storm. Jesus may not always handle the storm the way we want him to or the way we expect him to, but one way or another, he will handle the storm. So Jesus sees us in our storm. He shows up in our storm. He wants us to trust him in the storm, and he will handle our storm. And then at the end of the story, we see this. Jesus gets the glory in the storm. Jesus gets the glory in the storm. Right? The story is not really that much about the disciples. It's about what Jesus did. Now, as they said at the beginning, there were many other miracles that the disciples saw Jesus perform. Just to clarify, when you read in Matthew's gospel, you read of him healing a man with leprosy. He heals Peter's mother-in-law. He heals many other sick people. He causes a paralyzed man to get up and walk. He causes a mute man to be able to speak. He calmed the sea in the midst of the storm. We already mentioned that. He cast out demons. And then he fed the 5,000. So they saw all of this. But in Matthew's gospel, and it's also kind of corroborated in John's gospel, it seems that this was the moment for the disciples when they realized he really was the promised Messiah, the Son of God, and the Savior of the world. Because it says, then they worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." They fell at his feet. They bowed down before him in reverence because they knew they were in the presence of divinity. You don't worship a person. They knew he was God. And I believe that that's ultimately the reason, this is just my thought on it, but that's ultimately the reason that Jesus sent them out into the storm in the first place. He sent them into this windstorm of resistance so that at the end of it all, they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt who Jesus was. And when we go through our storms of resistance, we'll realize it too. We're going to know him and trust him deeper than we ever have before. So if you feel like you're going through a storm in your life because of your faithfulness to Jesus, you feel like there's resistance coming your way, I want to encourage you with one other thing that we see in this story. And it's something that I think we often overlook, and that's this. The disciples never quit rowing. Right? They never quit rowing. They were out there all night in what should have taken them just a couple of hours, but they didn't stop. They kept going. I'm sure they were exhausted. I'm sure they were tired. I'm sure they were scared. They probably thought all their efforts were futile. They were trying to do exactly what Jesus was telling them to do, and they were met with this incredible resistance, but they never turned back. They never bailed. They faithfully kept rowing and fighting the wind to do what he said until he showed up. Until he showed up. And I think it's important to realize there are no shortcuts through the resistance that comes when we follow Jesus. I mean, you can try and avoid the resistance, but you probably end up not doing what it is he wants. If you bail on him, you're probably never going to accomplish what he wants you to do. You're never going to see where it is he wants you to go. And then there will be no story. I mean, try to imagine this story if the disciples had quit. It'd be pretty simple, right? It'd read like, the disciples started across the lake as Jesus told them to, but the wind picked up against them and it got really hard, so they quit. They turned around and headed back to the shore. If you quit, and some people do, if we quit, then there is no story. We'll never get to see Jesus come through for us. And it's possible that the reason you're in that storm is because that's exactly what he wants you to see. It's also possible that Jesus wants you in that storm because he's going to use it to help others see you meet him there, or see him meet you there. So don't give up. Don't turn back. Don't quit. Trust him. Keep rowing against the wind, trusting that he sees you, that he'll show up, and that he will handle your storm. We're going to close with one more song of worship, and if the team wants to come up, I'm going to pray for us this morning. And as we do, if you feel like there's, if it's interesting as we talk about this, I know I'm talking about this storm of resistance, like I am faithfully doing something Jesus called me to do, and it's hard and there's resistance. But let's be real, the same things apply to whatever storm we're facing in our life, whether it's a storm we brought upon ourselves, whether it's a storm that has happened to us, or a storm that he has led us into. Jesus still wants to have us see him in that storm. He's still going to show up. He still wants us to trust him. And he will handle that storm. So whatever it is that you might be struggling with, facing this morning, I want to pray to that end, and then we'll close in worship. Heavenly Father, this morning we know that each one of us has different difficulties that we face. Some of them may be really minor. Some of them may be just a difficult time because we've been faithful to you. Some of them might be ways that we stepped out faithfully to do what you asked, and we knew it was going to be hard, and yeah, it is. And some of what we feel might be, we stepped out faithfully and we knew it was going to be hard, but we had no idea just how difficult it was going to be. And it would be so easy for us to quit right now and to turn back to the shore. Father, we pray that despite the resistance that we are facing, whether it's coming from our life circumstances or from people in our lives that are resisting, that are bringing resistance because we're following who you are, whatever the reason that's coming our way, we pray you give us the strength to keep rowing, that you would allow us to see that you are at work in that storm, that you see us, that you show up, that you want us to trust you, and that you'll handle it. And that ultimately we want to stay faithful to you. Keep fighting, keep rowing against the wind to do what it is you're calling us to do. And as we do that, God, we pray that you ultimately, Jesus, would get the glory. We want to lift this before you as you know the cares of our hearts and you know the details of our lives. You know where this is true for us, maybe even more so than we do. So we offer it to you. And we ask for you to help us see you and to trust you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.